Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage, confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dogma Debates, David Smalley, and Ian Harris. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Jeff Cesario is here with the sports, Chet Waterhouse. And now, Jugs Magazine's Person of the Year, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. We count on that as we turn the corner and head into year number 9 around here. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to
you. Oh, yeah. It's dry. Yeah, smoke out there. And Ball Brian.
What's up, honky?
And Jeff Cesario, our favorite, Chet Waterhouse.
Hello.
Studio. Good to see you. Yeah, we're laughing off the air because I think Dawson asked me how my sinuses were with all the smoke and the fire and the dry air. And my answer is 1,000% fine because I'm not a pussy. But there's a lot of people that are affected by a lot of stuff. And as a matter of fact, there's a lot more people who are affected by a lot more stuff.
Mm. It's growing. It's increasing.
When I was a kid, nobody was affected by anything. There was like, hey, what are we worried about? Being nuked by the Soviets?
Yeah, like hiding under your desk.
What else? Just the nuke part,
pretty much.
Right. Everything else is good.
But you have to admit, I mean, the air doesn't exactly feel fresh.
I know, but it
literally
doesn't.
Literally smoldering home.
Let me tell you something about being a puss. So I've never been a pussy, and that's the worst thing a guy can be is a pussy. The worst thing. I'd much rather hang around with a guy who was a thief than a guy who was a pussy.
Me too.
Puss is the lowest rung on the dude ladder. And I just had this conversation with the nice lady from the Sports Clips hair salon.
Sports Clips.
Yeah.
Chet, work that in.
Chet, Sports Clips. You know, it's always great when they pick a theme and they have to just ride it into the ground.
Right.
Like, you want the All-Pro, you want the All-American.
The rookie.
And they always think you know what it is. So you're like sitting there and it's like, you ready to go All-Pro or All-Star? And you're like,
let's go with a cleat ripper today.
Right.
That's so, a high and tight on the side.
Yeah, that's right.
I said,
little blood.
I said to her, so she was cutting my hair, and I don't know, she started talking about the smoke and the sinuses and this and that, and I just gave her the answer I give everyone. I don't get sick. And Olga's out all week because Olga's sick.
Oh, no.
And you know what I love about the people who do the sick math? I said, And then Lynette Pawson goes, but she's around the kids all day. And I'm like, yeah, those things. Yeah, I sleep with Jacko in a hyperbolic chamber. Right. I don't see them. I don't even know what their names are. I don't wrestle with them every single night on the bed. Like, what do you mean that she's around them? I'm around them too.
You're like a bank teller with a constant lucite barrier between you two.
Bulletproof. Right.
Yeah.
Olga's a pretty strong lady though.
She is, and she's out all week, and I feel fine, and I took Philly Cheese Dog for a walk over there to the Sports Clips place. And so the woman, she's cutting my hair, and she says, so you don't get sick. I said, no. And she goes, what's the key to not getting sick? And I said, first thing you need to do is announce all the time you don't get sick. And then the second thing is you have to have a job that you can't miss. If you have a job that you can't miss, you'd be surprised how little you're sick. I said, what if your job every day was to just do a show in front of 500 people and the tickets were already sold and you woke up in the morning and you knew you had to do that show that afternoon?
Yeah.
You find a way.
Would you miss that? Would you miss a day? Would you say you've got to return the money to all those people? And by the way, if you do that, you don't get paid either.
Right.
How much would that cut back on it? And she said, I did have a job once that I couldn't miss. I said, yes, when you work at the post office, you get 1.5 sick days a month and you burn them all. You'd be a fool not to use them, sort of thing.
Right.
You're going to use them. She said, she thought about it and she went, I had a job and it was one of those jobs where you just had to be there and I didn't get sick all year. And I said, hey, everybody. She's got the number two on the Clippers. She got the number one on the Wood. She's sleeved up. She's got herself a nose ring. And she's rocking bangs like someone should be airbrushed on the side of a rat rod. Jade, stay forth, Jade. So there's a look, the chicks, that rockabilly look.
Yep. Straight across.
Keep it tight.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
A Betty Page.
Here's what...
Well, it depends on your mood. I don't think there's anything wrong with
it. I want to get back to rockabilly look, but she never missed a day that... I said, what happened? She said, the woman who owned the salon was sick and got sick and was getting sicker. It sounded like cancer sick. And she took all her clients and she needed to be there for this sick person who was really sick, she needed to take over her clients. It never missed a day. I said, well, there you go. Yep, there's your answer. So, anyway, as far as the dryness and the what's going on in the air and the heat and everything else, I don't give a shit.
I must admit, I walked out of the house because I live in Westwood, very near the what they're calling the Skirball fire, and I just went, man, this smells like when we used to burn leaves in the Midwest.
Yes.
Meanwhile, my wife is putting duct tape around the windows. And
yes, I love it.
They're medically sealing the attic.
I could remember living in houses back east way back in the day that had incinerators in the back. Out here, like go burn your garbage.
We had one. Yeah. You just dump it in the basement.
It looks like it's a sort of part barbecue, part crematorium. It stands alone in the back, and you burn. That's why my dad always called the trash can the ash can.
Yeah, exactly.
You can throw it in the ash can. The ash can is where you then put the ashes after
from
you go burn all your garbage.
Right, yeah.
It seems incredibly unsafe to have in your house.
Not in.
I don't get it. Like in the basement or?
No, it's on the property.
Oh,
like, remember,
I've never
this
seen
was
it.
The barbecue the part. Yours was in the house.
Yeah, we had like a 55 gallon drum with a lid on it that my dad would move over. My dad, completely anal retentive Catholic Italian. So that you could freaking eat an omelet off this thing. That's how clean it was. And that's where you burned the garbage.
Hold on. I'm going to do what everyone does to me in my life. Why would you eat an omelet off the 55 gallon drum? That's my whole life. I spent my whole life doing that. I do love that. I do
comedy assassinated today.
What? Yeah, that's me and comedy, and then assassination, and then also I feel like I don't. And we're gonna get back to a rockabilly girl, but I don't get answers. I don't know if anyone was in the van with me when we were driving to the airport. But
from the cruise, yes,
there's a fella named John DeClerc. John DeClerc, here's another sad thing in life. When you're known for something that is now gone, you know, for a lot of guys, it's being good at football or sports or whatever.
Right.
John DeClerc had this bright red tuft of hair. That's what I remember about him.
You know, cool.
He's a pilot now, not height. Well, here's the problem. He's a pilot now. And on the cruise, we ran into a guy who was a big fan and a pilot and who worked with John.
Wow.
And John then mentioned, I went to high school or junior high or grade school with that guy. So I remember him from grade school and from junior high. You guys tell me, these people, they make it through your grade school, they make it through your junior high, and then they somehow fall off the radar in high school. Too many people, you're playing football, they're in the chess club, or like you. And then as your memory goes back, you go, did that guy go to high school with me? Because there's some people, right, when they left junior high, went to Taft High, right, and you went to Jenkins High over there, and you can't remember, did they go?
Based on where you lived. And then also, like, you were kind of friends with that guy for maybe 2 or 3 years in middle school, right, wherever it was. Yeah. But then
kind of went separate ways.
For us, that was usually dad divide. Went to prison.
Oh, wow.
Well, family had to move.
Then there was the super weird one, which is they made it through their first year of high school and then seemed to slough off yeah. somewhere, and it's unclear whether they went to juvie or went home yeah. or moved to Indiana. So as we're driving in, speaking of the inability to process information, I was saying to Ray, so we're talking about, so the sad part is, he had that big red tuft of hair, and I said to the guy, like, big red tuft of hair, and he goes, he's bald. Oh. So I was like, oh yeah, we're old. Like, we're old. Everyone's old. I'm picturing yeah. a 13-year-old version of John DeClercq right. with big red tuft of hair, not the 53-year-old bald version of him.
Right.
But, so I said, sir, and then Ray said, I talked to the same guy. Yeah, he knows John too. And so then I did this one. You guys tell me if there's a lot of this in your life as well. I remember him from junior high and grade school, then junior high. Did he go to our high school, Ray? He went to the Air Force Academy. Yeah, but did he go to our high school? Well, he was supposed to go to the Air Force Academy, and then I think he somehow didn't go because he couldn't pass the physical thing. Yeah, what
high school?
No. Is he go to our high school? Yeah, he went to the academy. Yeah, that's what you do after. Why no. can't you just say? And then at some point they get indignant. They go, yeah, of course you went to our high school. How many else would he get to the Air Force Academy? And it's like, okay, but you could just answer the yeah.
the
part now.
Like
now.
Back to me.
We yeah. could do it in order. It's kind of coming back to me when I was yelling at Ray yeah, about the right. why can't right he just say yeah. yes, he yes. went to our high school?
I remember now I was burying my phone, my nose in my phone to try and escape the awkward situation, and you and Ray were having behind me.
Thank you. Right.
Tangentitis, thank you. I think mm-hmm. it's called. It's where yes, people just go off on tangents and can't ever circle back
why,
to the original question.
What is that part? And then why do you think that's what I was asking? And why is there so much of that? You understand? I had a meeting at Amazon yesterday. I said to Nate, I called Nate who was over there at the meeting. I said, I'm running a little bit late. I don't normally keep my wallet on my person. I keep it in my car. And I said, Nate was like, you go through the lobby, then you go to the fourth floor, and then we'll be on the fourth floor. And I said, do I need to bring my ID? And he said, no. Then he paused and he said, not for the lobby, but for the fourth floor.
Oh, man. So, yes.
Yeah, just say yeah. yes, then. Just yeah, say but yes. Like, oh, what do you think? I would be outraged and I walk through the lobby and don't have to brandish my ID. It's a weird approach to life. Yeah. And his way, he was saying, you don't need it for the lobby, but you do. But the question was just, do I need my ID?
Do I bring it, yes points? Or no?
And you can say yes, and then we can get on with our lives.
Mm-hmm. Rockabilly. I was hoping we could get back to that.
Rockabilly. All right. So, here's the question.
Please.
I'm not a huge fan of the sort of Betty Page, whatever, bangs and yeah. the tats and whatever, but or being trapped in the 40s, late 30s, early 40s. I understand it's some guy's groove, but here's the question. You see these guys at the car shows where the guy's driving the rat rod and he looks like the fifth member of the Stray Cats and she looks like Betty Page's sister, didn't right. quite make it. Did they meet at an event for these types of looks, or did the guy have to try to convince her to put on the saddle shoes and the bobby socks and the poodle skirt, or was it the other way around? Did he start making his move?
Yeah, was one of them so dedicated to the lifestyle, see, they brought the other one in?
My initial reaction is they're both so committed to it that they have to have met at like a sock hop. Or a malt shop.
Sock hop.
At a place that doesn't exist from a time
exactly.
long ago.
Like, yes. Like they make their own. Like they're a party. You know,
with
the,
you're over 50, that's a sack hop, I think.
But they had to have met in a situation where they're both super dedicated.
So like the USO's putting on a show.
Yeah. Yes. Bob
that's
Hope
where
is
they
there.
Meet.
Bob yes.
Hope. The Bing Crosby's pruning. The Andrews Sisters are exactly. down taking the stage and you met. Hey, Gary, in my book, I think in 50 years we'll all be kicked. I think rockabilly guy is one of the guys I can't hang out with. I always also wonder about these guys, which is I think, in the book, which is what happens when they have to go to the supermarket just on a Wednesday at 10 a.m.? Do they have to get pomade
out?
Whole
thing on.
And then they have to take the, they have to buy jeans that never fit because they have to be cuffed up.
Yes.
To roll the cuff up.
That, and it's also a very expensive lifestyle because it's one of those lifestyles that you need to have the whole thing, the car.
Yeah, you can't have a Prius.
Like, if you're a punk guy or girl, if you're punk, like, that's a cheap lifestyle. You know what I mean? Drive a beater car, drive almost any car. And it sucks.
You can't have a wallet on a chain and then get out of a Prius.
No.
That does not.
And, but you know, the other thing about rockabilly chicks is, if you've noticed, it works at any weight. Because
there are
the swayfy ones, there's the zoftig ones.
I'm with you on that. The bangs and the sleeved up tats and the lipstick and the poodle skirt, they work. It does work at any weight range.
Fighting weight.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good thing about the grunge era, too, was you got to wear any flowy flannel thing you wanted at any time.
Yeah. Disco was a serious commitment to caloric intake.
Yeah, Coke.
You had to. And also, there's a fine line between camel toe and camel hoof, you know what I mean? Like, you get too heavy, you get way too much camel in there.
You
know what I mean?
Knuckle.
Like, you want a dusting of camel, you don't want the Grand Camel Canyon coming down there. When you put a little too much weight on and you try to squeeze one of those dittos.
Wow.
Yeah.
The 80s like hairband era was tough too because you had to wear spandex and the torn shirts off.
Yeah.
That's a tough one to pull
off. That's
rough.
Do you have rockabilly guy?
Yeah, this is what you said. You said rockabilly skull guy. He's the guy who needs to let you know exactly what decade he's trapped in. No matter what the calendar says, it is always 1955 to him. Whether he's at a club or the supermarket, he's dressed like the fourth member of the Stray Cats, and he's in love with skulls. From the tattoo on his arm to the shift knob on his Mercury to the chrome on his keychain, this asshole loves skulls more than Hamlet. Hey, Fonzie, you're a 44-year-old house painter, not one of the outsiders. The person I really feel sorry for is this guy's girlfriend. This poor bitch has to dress like Betty from the Archies or they can't go out. I bet every Saturday night they have the same argument. Quote, can't I just wear my juicy sweatpants and leave my hair down? Fuck that. Put on that poodle skirt and those saddle shoes. We're going to the mall to get you a skull tattoo. Yes.
What is the skull guy?
I don't know. I never understood the skull fascination.
Is it so I think you're a badass, or you just love skulls?
No, I think it's the first.
Yeah, I think it's the first.
Badass,
I agree.
Yeah.
It's the badass icon that prevents you from doing the end around where you realize, the music's just a shuffle beat from 1939.
But what about like other bones, like the tibia and the femur and things like that? Is that something that interests
Not
Skull
fascinating.
Guy?
No, because that's too piratey.
Yeah,
too
totally
piratey.
Yeah, gets into
too
the pirate
piratey.
Look.
All right, so it's just skulls.
Yeah.
Just a skull with a couple of jewels in it
and
a magic markered eyebrow.
And that's just letting us know where you're at and not
what
to mess
about.
With you.
Yeah.
Skeleton, by far the least scary monster because there's no ligaments holding those bones together. One little tap, they're going to fall apart.
Well, also,
very brittle.
Skeleton, not as scary as just skull.
Right.
Which is kind of weird because it's like saying, it's better to get attacked by just one Crip than 10 of them.
True.
Which is weird because it's counterintuitive and it doesn't work that way in other forms of getting your getting scared or getting your ass kicked.
Right.
You know what I mean? The actual skull is scarier than the skull with all the rest of its bones.
Yes, out of context.
Yeah. Did we ever think?
Because again, like, the jawbone, not connected.
Yeah.
Do you ever do this one? I've never had this thought ever. Every skull is a dude. I never had a dude brandish a skull thing, and I go, yeah, it's a chick skull. That's one of my mom's friends. I recognize it. Not scared at all.
No.
Moving on.
Point.
She was a gymnast. She was like 5'1". She went like 100 pounds wet. That's a great point. That's chick skull.
Yeah. Basing it on the population
that's
of the earth,
skull.
Chances are it's not scary person at all.
Every skull is dude skull, but do the math. Yeah. It can't all be dude skull. It's got to be chick skull.
Yep.
Right.
It's got to be dwarf skull.
If they're dead, they were probably down in the pussy range. Most they probably got killed. You know? So it's not even.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even a macho skull.
I recognize that guy. That skull, he was begging for his life just before he defecated himself. And the guy just put a knee right into his forehead, and that's why he's dead.
That's why I got his skull.
He's going to whine at you for all eternity.
Yeah, that was the chick who said she'd blow everyone in the gang if she could just go free.
Yep.
Yeah, not scared of that scary. Skull.
Sad, really.
Not a scary skull.
No. Yeah, nothing
tragic.
Says playing bass in a band up in Pacoima on Wednesday night, come see us, like
than
a
the skull.
Skull.
But I'm just saying, if you're going to stencil it on the side of your tank, or you're going to get the ring like the Dooch Man used to have, or whatever it is, how do we know? You're right. More than half the population are women.
Right.
So there's better than a coin toss chance that I'm looking at a chick skull.
Yeah. Right.
Then I'm probably looking at elderly chick skull, because a lot of chicks just die of natural causes in their 80s. They're dried up. They're bag of bones. Yeah. There's no muscle mass.
What percentage of the guys you encounter on a daily basis are scary guys? A very small percentage.
Yeah. That's probably the skull. It's not like you're going to go, oh, that's Brock Lesnar's skull. No. I'll do whatever you want.
That is definitely assisted living skull.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Interesting. It's weird that every skull's a dude skull. Never thought about it. All right. Got some questions here. We got Chet Waterhouse. We got a lot of stuff to do. Let me tell you about MVMT watches. Where'd Gary go? He's walking around back there somewhere.
I brought my MVMT watch on the cruise, and I wore it to dinner on formal night.
I was going to say I brought mine as well, and I wore it on stage because it's easy for me to read. It's sometimes a little tough on stage with the light in your face, a little dark on stage.
I wore mine to Snooba.
You did?
Yeah. Gary, you wore yours at dinner.
I wore mine the whole trip.
You were like, Gary thought he was modeling the watch. He had his sleeve rolled up just so, and he kept holding his hand.
kept grasping his chin. His,
like Rodin's The Thinker.
Right, right. It was on your left hand?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I put it on the wrong side because I'm left-handed. But he was, like, doing that the whole time, and I was looking at the blue face.
You look good doing it.
Something about him.
Yeah.
I think I brought the same watch you brought, Gary. Blue face, tan band. All right, where was I? Started by two broke college kids. They wanted stylish watches, couldn't afford them, so they started their own company, man, like I did. You can start with just $95, and these are watches that are retailing up around $400 or $500 at department stores. Selling all online means no middleman, no retail markup. Over 1 million sold in over 160 countries. You get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns, but you're not going to return it. You're going to love it, man. MVMTWatches.com/Adam. MVMTWatches.com/Adam. Join the movement. Yeah, Gary had his. Brian had his. I had mine. We're all about the cruise. All right, let me just check a couple of phone calls here, and then we'll get to Chet Waterhouse. Dylan.
Hey. Hey, man. How's it going, everybody?
24, New Jersey. What's going on?
That's me. I was wondering if you were familiar with the Patrice O'Neill women's ranking system. I know we're all familiar with the 1 to 10 system, but have you heard of his?
No, lay it on us.
All right, awesome. So it's not 1 to 10, like I said. It's 1 to 30. And the key to it, though, is that it's broken up into different tiers. So 1 to 10 is one tier, 11 to 20 is another tier, and 21 to 30 is a separate tier.
Only a rogue comic would come up with this
system. Yeah, I know. You have to spend a lot of time waiting for planes. I used to do it. It's funny because I used to have a whole system, too, that I invented on Loveline, but most of it was just on airplanes with nothing to do. You guys forget, on airplanes, you just fly coach and there was nothing to do. You didn't have your portable whatever device and everything else.
In-flight entertainment.
Right. So go ahead, Dylan.
So I guess the reason why this comes in handy is I'll use a specific example in the Tier 3 category. We'll put Gwyneth Paltrow and Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm.
I personally put Charlize Theron closer to, like, I'd say, 28, 29. I mean, she's definitely up there. But Gwyneth is she's much lower on the Tier 3 scale. I'd put her closer to a 22. Now, on a 1 to 10 system, who's going to give Gwyneth Paltrow, like, a 7 or whatever it is? I mean, she obviously fits into the fine category, but she's just not nearly as attractive as someone like Charlize Theron. So I think there's a lot of room here for debate and talk. And, I just think that this really fleshes out the whole rating system.
Does everyone totally understand this?
No, but
do we all be on the same page of what tier the woman falls into? Because it feels like
the first tier is looks, and the second tier is what?
No. It's all looks. It's all looks.
It's just
another one. I'll say this. Hold on.
I cooked up on Loveline was looks, and then a certain and the ability to not care, that sort of leave you alone, like chillax, just easy.
Yeah, not high maintenance.
We're not. And guys, it's looks is one thing. Money's a little bit, but it's mostly power. Like, what is his title?
Right.
What's a guy's title? That carries a lot with women.
This is just a fine-tuned decimal point rating system.
Oh, right. Thing.
Right. It's essentially like 1 to 10, but split into 1 to 3 and a third, 3 and a third to 6 and 2 thirds, 6 and 2 thirds to 10.
See, I have to strongly disagree with that.
Right, but if you want to do let's that, just we say, do hold 1 on, to 100. Hold on a second. Let's just say we're with Charlize Theron and Gwyneth Paltrow, right?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And we're just on the old school 1 to 10. I like to have 0 to 10 because it really hurts women.
Really hurts
women.
Painful.
I like to leave that open, that spot open for women. And so you go, well, Charlize Theron is a 9 and Gwyneth Paltrow's an 8 or something like that.
I don't think that's fair.
What part of it's not fair?
Well, I think that Charlize is just leagues ahead of Gwyneth Paltrow, but Gwyneth Paltrow still deserves the ranking to be in a higher category.
Well, a couple things, and this is now you have to take a turn for the ageist here. But Charlize, Gwyneth Paltrow, if you see her in the height of her powers, you know, like if you saw her
in Love,
right, Emma,
or the one where she played the fat chick and the skinny chick, you see Shallow Hal, you'll see smoking hot Gwyneth Paltrow. But now Gwyneth Paltrow's had a few kids and she's 44 years old. So are we going to factor that in? And if you're going to factor that in, then you got to drop her down, you know, to a 7 or 6.5 or something like that. But yes. But then why do we need to go to 30, Dylan?
Well, here, I'll try to add another dynamic because...
Explain the dynamics we have on the table. Don't go to another dynamic,
okay, so tier one.
And can I just say, I would guess that the late, great Patrice O'Neill had a punch at the end of this summer. That's my guess. I'm just guessing,
at
Dylan.
At least another thing that started with a P, like point. Patrice is rolling over in his grave right now. That's not easy.
Shut the fuck up!
I'm looking at this Reddit thing about it, and just to make this incredibly simple, this just says, think of the 1 to 30 scale broken up into three parts. 1 to 10 equals ugly women, 11 to 20 equals average women, and 21 to 30 equals hot women.
Okay.
So that's
now
what
I said.
Now,
break it into thirds.
Exactly.
Right. So now we can put a little distance between Gwyneth Paltrow and Charlize Theron by announcing that Gwyneth Paltrow's a 24 and Charlize Theron's a 28.
Like in high school football, they're both competing in Division I because they're a certain size of high school. Like
yeah, right.
Competing against the little private schools.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Dylan. We like that.
I think there's a lot to it. And honestly, there's an idea for a game here.
No. I don't know. And listen, whatever.
Don't steal from the Dylan.
You're a single guy, Dylan?
How'd you guess?
Yeah. Don't float this like on your first date. Wait till like the third date.
And you are a solid 15.
Yeah.
Until you maybe watch the YouTube clip a few more times, don't bring Patrice's name into this just yet.
Yes.
Hang on.
Somebody now, so over here, they're having all these fires. They shut down the 405. 405 goes over the pass in between the valley and the city.
It's how most of us get here.
Right. And they shut it down both ways, and it was complete clusterfuck this morning.
Like big robberies.
Lots of fires to the left and the right. Somebody was on it. Let's just talk to Jared, 41, Anaheim. Jared?
Hey, guys.
Sorry about the name and what the guy from Subway did to you.
Yeah, I try to point people towards the diamonds and not the sleazebag.
Oh,
but,
right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, Jared Dimes, right. That's right.
Might I suggest Jared?
Yes.
Jerry.
Yeah, that would work, yeah. But I do some driving for a car service on the side in addition to my day job, and picked up my passenger this morning to take them to the Lux Hotel Sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Asked him, well, what do you want to listen to? He said, you got NPR. Within a couple of minutes of being on the road, we hear, and there's the Skirball fire in the Sepulveda Pass. The 405 northbound is shut down at Santa Monica. And we just both look at each other and we just start laughing. And I just like, all right, guns out, all out. We're going up the HOV lane as far as we can get.
For people outside the area, you're driving right into the teeth of essentially the fire.
Yeah, just an apocalyptic fire.
Well, first it's windy, it's driving, but my sinuses are a mess. Okay.
Let's not forget the real
victims. I
wasn't going
to come in today because of my sinuses. Because what happens is the air gets dry, and then you breathe the air that's around you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so when the air is dry, you're breathing all the dry air, okay?
Makes sense,
okay?
Yeah.
And then what I just did is I breathed. And what's happening is the dry air, is you take in the dry air, that dries your sinuses. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, I wish I could take in moist air from a Caribbean island.
Why don't you just do that?
But I can't. Yeah. I can't because there's no habit trail that leads to Caribbean eye. No. So when the air gets dry, then what I do is I breathe in the dry air. Then I get you know what
irritated.
Happens? What? I get irritated. And you know what happens next?
What?
I get itchy eyes.
Oh, no.
Itchy, watery eyes.
God help you if you walk at a clipped pace.
No, I get itchy. My eyes get... So my sinuses, they get dry. You know, both breathing in all the dry air.
Do you get a little tickle in your throat?
Hold on.
Okay.
First, my eyes start itching. I get itchy eyes, you know? And I can't get the itch out of them, you know? And I wish I could just close my eyes and drive... Or do needlepoint.
Why don't you?
I can't. Like, I can't. You got to have your eyes. So they're like, you know that feeling?
That's a good point.
You know that feeling? That? You know that feeling when your eyes are like itchy?
Yeah, they itch.
They itch.
They itch a lot.
So you know that feeling? That's the feeling I feel.
In both eyes?
If I had a third, I'd feel it there too. So I'm breathing in all this dry air, and it's drying up my sinuses. It's giving me itchy eyes.
Right.
So what I do is I start breathing through my mouth. Okay, because my sinuses are so inflamed.
Spare your sinuses.
Yeah, they're dry. Can you hear that?
Oh God.
That's the sound of me breathing.
That's the sound of dry sinus. Yeah.
You can't hear the eye itching part. No, you can't. Okay. But trust me, because you know
itches.
That feeling.
Yes.
That feeling, like, I want to itch my eyes. And then I start breathing through my mouth, and I start getting a dry mouth.
Oh.
You know, and there's no remedy, I mean, other than drinking water, but it's like,
who can do that?
Yeah.
Where are you going to get water?
Like Bob Niagara, like I just got water on me all the time, or, you know, I'm in my car, and it's like, and then you turn what I'll do in the car is I'll roll the windows up, and I'll hit the recirc button, you know, but then you're just breathing the old itchy air, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, all that's doing is like... That's like you farting in a mummy bag and like duct taping the top closed, you know?
You know, we can send a man to the moon and we can't figure this out.
You got to moisten the air. It's got to be some kind of car humidifier or something.
Yeah, something.
So now I got the tickle. I feel the tickle.
It's the worst.
You know, it's like the dry.
You poor thing. Yeah.
You know that thing where you make that noise? It is like, because it's dry?
Yeah.
That's what I do. That's what happens.
How did you even bother coming in today?
Oh, man.
You're a hero.
I am. Jared?
Yeah.
Did your eyes start itching when you're driving?
Very much.
Can I say this? I've heard 2,000 times pussies tell me their eyes itch. I have no idea what it means. I take a goddamn crochet needle to it then.
You could be inhaling ash and soot. And to bring it full circle, that's when you go, yeah, I grew up in a house where we burnt our garbage in the basement.
My dad's hold my cigarette. Let me light the garbage on fire.
I'm okay with the ash and soot.
Yeah, we lived at the bottom of Mount St. Helens when I was born. So I get it. Literally shoving ash like snow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jared?
Yeah.
So you had your client in the back.
Yeah, so we catch up to traffic, and I realize that it's shut down at Santa Monica Boulevard, but traffic has basically stood still. Once you catch up to everybody in front of you, it's just dead, and it's when I realized that they were just, whatever the green light at the end of the off-ramp, whatever cycle that was with Santa Monica Boulevard, was actually being honored.
Oh, really?
And I couldn't understand how come the police
in the middle of an emergency.
Weren't thinking, all right, let's block off Santa Monica Boulevard and let's just flag cars to the left.
Can I? I had this exact goddamn thought last night. Thank you, Jared. You're here. I was driving home kind of late, traffic, and more traffic. I started my day sitting in traffic trying to get to Amazon in Santa Monica. I ended my day about 6 o'clock trying to leave here, stuck in traffic again, trying to get home. I was driving up the 2 to my house, and I was making good time, and I looked to the left, and I saw the freeway was completely blocked off. Like, everyone has stopped out of their car, you know, that thing where it's just every lane, everything, parking lot, full parking lot.
Carmageddon.
And as I was passing the accident, I see what I oftentimes see, which is a fair to middling accident. Like, not a bad one, but not a fender bender. Like, a little bit of an accident. But it's really occupying the right lane and the next lane. And then the three lanes next to it are open, but there's firemen and cops just sort of walking around that area. And I thought, what I always think, which is, couldn't you guys kind of work the funnel system here? And then I thought, there needs to be a, like, fabric barrier thing. Couple things. We need to get coached up as a society on, like, what to do when things happen. Like, I'll give you a for instance. What if every highway patrolman just had in the back of his car something that was about 30 inches wide, it was just orange, or it had a big arrow on it, and it scrolled out like one of those things, like the blinds you pull up and go, and you could pull it out 60 feet, and they just plant the stanchion, like, on one thing, and they'd slide it over, and that lets you know that there's an accident, but that... It's nothing but traffic cops. It's nothing but highway patrolmen. Like, can we dedicate one of you to just go move it along? Let's get the funnel going. Like, okay, you're going to slow down. Okay, you'll be late for dinner. Okay, it'll be an inconvenience. But we won't do the thing where you just completely lock off the freeway. It's not... The accident is not taking up five lanes. It's taking up two lanes. The people are in the ambulance. Things are fine. Yes, you got to get a tow truck in here. Yes, got whatever. And this thing of, like, hey, we got to be completely safe all the time. We got guys walk around. I think there's a way to balance safety and the public actually getting where the fuck they're trying to go. And this thing of just shut it down all the time and shut it down as long as we possibly can to make sure everything is perfect before we then let starting people. Why not do a fucking funnel thing? Why not let people use the shoulder on the fast lane? Why not do this stretchy material, this thing that slides back into itself, put the one stanchion there, pull it out, let the people, let the motorists know when you see this, that's your merge all the way this way or all the way that way. Have one guy with the flashlight and the whatever going, here we go, move it along, let's get it, put the white gloves on.
They should just print that on the side of the giant stretchy thing. It just says, move it along, pal.
Yeah. Right.
Keep your nose back in your business. Get where you going. Go there. That's what it should say.
Use one of those horse shooting partitions, like at the racetrack.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
They have them.
They have them on the NFL sideline now, where they got the little place you're going. Exactly.
Just they shoot
move
the athlete.
It, move it along. There's no. Now, when you're 10 rows back, you have no idea
Next
but to
in.
Trust everybody. But when I'm driving past the other direction, I see there's plenty of room and to safely move people around.
We are woefully in need of innovation. Not even high tech. Like you said, just simple innovations could improve things so much, and yet we're so far... like ignoring the obvious need.
I think a cop waving frantically would help.
Yeah,
just a cop going, "Let's go, let's go."
Well, Brian and I think we both kind of agreed on this when we talked about this at another point, that people want they want to have that curiosity quelled. What the hell is taking so long? I got to see this. So at least if you put the partition up, I'll never know. Just keep going.
Just keep going. Just have the partition up and wave it along. Have the partition just be orange and have big arrows going the direction you want everyone to go. Get the guy out there with the white gloves and the whistle and just go, let's go. Let's move it. Just keep going.
Constant.
And that'd be fine. And I think... The people are stuck on the freeway don't mind the part where they're inconvenienced. They mind the part where it stops for an hour and a half and they're going nowhere. All right. And how many times have you done the full freeway stop and then got to where the trouble was and went,
nothing.
We could have opened two lanes.
Most of the time.
Could have easily opened two lanes.
The vast majority of the time.
As a matter of fact, three stanchions, one in place. Then it goes the direction you want to go. Then it turns and goes down the lane. So it literally creates like a corridor. Here's the two lanes that are open. Yeah. Here we go. Get out there. Here's the reason why none of this exists. They don't give a shit.
Nothing in it.
There's nothing in it for them. They don't fucking care. The firemen just walk around on the freeway. The cops, highway patrol, just walk around the fucking freeway. Assholes. Garcetti, get off your fucking... Oh, God, what an asshole Garcetti is. God, if he runs for president, I'm moving. That's it. Me and Let's see. I mean, you know what I'm going to do?
Pass Baldwin on the way back in?
No, I'm going to get Babs and, I don't know, Cher and, all, and Baldwin and all
Joy
the
Behar.
Other celebrities that said they were going to, they always announce they're going to move if a Mitt Romney gets in or especially Trump or whatever. And I'll go, now let's really move. Come on. It's Garcetti. Let's go. We can start our own little celebrity enclave in Canada or Mexico.
Sure.
And they'll go, but you're kind of a C-lister. And I'll go, someone's got to work the gate.
I got
skills. Come on, George.
Come on. It's Dick Wolf Island. Let's
someone's
go.
Someone's got to pick up that pig poop of yours. All right. Where were we? All right. We'll do Chet Waterhouse in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock, man. Ooh, Uber just disclosed, I say, breach of 57 million passengers and drivers' records, names, driver's license, numbers, emails, phone numbers. Look, if you're only monitoring your credit, your identity can be stolen in ways you can't detect. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats and will alert you if your info is being used, like someone stealing from your 401k. That could happen. Then their U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. We're heading into 2018, people. You're doing all your shopping online. I went to get my hair cut today, and they wanted me to fill out a bunch of stuff, like your email address and this, that, and the other. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I just want to get a haircut. And they're like, then we can't cut your hair unless you put this stuff in here. So I'm saying your
real
info.
Mexican standoff.
Yeah, your info. So I just gave them a bunch of fake info.
Of
but the point is.
Jeannie Grata.
Thank you.
It's funny when you get fake phone numbers and you're like 818-3882 and they're like, slow down, I'm sorry, what was it again? And I'm like, I'm not sure because I made up the first one. How much of it did you get?
Read it back to me.
Then where was I? LifeLock. So we're going into 2018. You people need to protect yourself. It's the cost of doing business, all the shopping online. It's LifeLock. I got it. Kids have it. Wife has it. You should get it too. LifeLock. Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right. Should we do a little Chet Waterhouse? A little sports with Chet Waterhouse?
The sports with Chet Waterhouse.
Hello again, everybody. Chet Waterhouse with the Waterhouse Update, brought to you by Infiniti, the titanium nightgown that lasts forever. Clemson, Georgia, Oklahoma, Alabama. Michael Flynn's safe house is no college football's Final Four. Two SEC teams in. Sportscaster Paul Feinbaum so jacked up he had a sip of Frangelico. Meanwhile, college coaches moving around like cheap trampolines in a bad windstorm. Jimbo Fisher and Scott Frost leave Florida, but mostly because those bath salt addicts are eating each other's faces off down there. Herm Edwards coming out of retirement as a skeleton to take over at Arizona State. Tennessee turns down by their 14th choice, Jared the Subway Guy, and they'll now stab a phone book randomly and hope for the best. That college wrap-up brought to you by Flantastic, the best vending machine flan ever. NFL! Eagles lose for the first time since before North Korea could reach the mainland. Giants fire Ben McAdoo. He's returning to his former job as an extra on American Chopper. Golf! Tiger Woods ties for ninth in the Bahamas, so look out, Applebee's night shift. He's back. Baseball! Japanese superstar hitter and pitcher Shohei Ohata. Forget it. Hell, I got 3 months to figure that one out. Olympics! Russia banned from the 2018 Winter Games. Finally opens a hole for the Trinidad Tobago hockey team. That item brought to you by Apache Dunes Casino. We may not smile much, but you will. Kids gamble free. If you want more of me this week, guys, I'll be in Oakland, California, calling the Marshawn Lynch Ding Dong Sauce Cook-Off for the Condiments Channel. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.
Chet Waterhouse Sports.
The best. I should, all the young comics out there, all the folks that think they can just show up and wing it. I don't even know if those, I'm always curious if the people think, I'll just show up and wing it, but they're winging it, never really works out.
No.
And I don't know why they don't know that, but our own Jeff Cesar has been in the business for, 35 years now, and he never shows up in wings.
He's got it dialed in.
That's what I love about it. And it's called being a pro, people. Yep. All right. Yeah, I wanted to say this quickly. I think Jeff and Brian will have thoughts. When, and I hear this all the time, the coach got fired before the end of the year with 2.5 games left in the year. And I always kind of think to myself, let's just wait. Like, why wouldn't it just, look, they're not going anywhere.
Right.
Whatever's going on, it happens all the time. And also, whenever they say to the guy, like, after the game with the news conference, are you worried about your jobs? Like, I don't think about my job. I think about coaching this team. Right. And I, as long as the key card works and I can get in the building, then that's all I know.
And you so get first the dreaded vote of confidence, too, from the ownership. Like, oh, we have full confidence in Coach Ball. And then 2 weeks later, the guy's gone.
That weekend or the following day or whatever it is. Once the press seems to know before the guy knows, or I don't know if he's a couple things. You know, all you're looking for in a great head coach like a Bill Belichick or Tom Brady and Belichick Brady and all that kind of stuff is preparation. Yeah. Preparation.
What did this
team do last time? Let's study the hell out of the film. When the Patriots are on their own 28 and they run a fake punt on 4th and 4, they know with confidence it's going to work because they prepared. Right. They've studied the team.
They're not winging it.
If you're a coach, I know this guy's a bad coach because he's going to get shit canned in 48 hours and he's not prepared. Mm. He doesn't even know. I would be impressed by his ownership where he's like, obviously I've considered this quite often and clearly, and
my bags are packed.
I worked as a manager at Fuddruckers many years ago before I left. I've already contacted the organization. They think they can find a home for me. Yeah. Obviously not as a manager when I return, but they say I can work. Like, I'd like some preparation. This guy has no preparation. Why that they're 2-10 or 11 or whatever it is. The season is lost. Mm-hmm. Why can't we just get through the season and then you have like 7 months to fire? Are we sending a message?
Well, pros are different from college.
Look it up, Jerry.
In college, I think they do it to attempt to jump on a coach they want before another school gets him and maintain and stabilize their recruiting recruits don't fall off the planet and decide that, you know, the difference between UCLA and Tennessee.
You got to shut your mic, Dawson.
UCLA.
My mic is off.
I was pushing my button because I was going to jump in. Sorry.
All right. Then don't cough.
Thank UCLA handled it perfectly with the hiring of Chip Kelly and Tennessee.
No, I agree, but what about the pro level?
The pro is different.
Why did they fire him with 3 games left?
I don't know.
Is it a contractual thing? Like, we don't have to pay you, blah, 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 if you don't make it through the full season?
I doubt it, because they're going to wind up paying him off anyway, usually.
Then what is it, other than FU?
There's still some scheduling issues there in terms of, okay, if we fire him now, at least we can start the coaching search now.
And we
can contact assistant coaches.
Can't you start the coaching search? Like, a lot of guys who get divorced were banging the secretary with the search.
On the slide.
Much earlier than the divorce. You know, like, shouldn't we be shopping around for coaches while he's still
here? I think there's some regulations.
There's tampering
rules.
I don't know if there's an answer, but I have a thought. It could be about season ticket sales for the next season and renewals. Or in college, when the boosters in college start to get a little.
All right, but hold on. The Giants season ticket holders are always sold out. It's always they bequeath them to their children and stuff like that. And it still doesn't affect 3 weeks or 4 weeks of the season left. Like, that's not a season.
Yeah, here's another thought.
I'm throwing that idea out.
It's image. And, you know, much like the peripheral show business people who are firing their managers because they had something to do with Louis C.K.
Look, world, we're doing something about this. We're probably
They have to look like it. And the mistake the New York Giants made was to bench Eli Manning with 5 games to go when they could have finished out the season and done it with a hell of a lot more grace. And they didn't. And the ownership wasn't sure that that's what the coach and general manager were going to do, and they did it, and that pissed off the ownership. And now they're trying to save face by saying, these guys were screwed to do that. Get them out of here. That's so it's just a PR move.
Beautiful, succinct, just missing the Chet Waterhouse voice.
I have a practical explanation.
Well, that was sort of – that had something to do with it.
That analysis brought to you by Mojabes, Death Valley's only hobby store.
Go ahead, Brian.
I think there's also a big value in, if you fire a coach with three games left, two games left, seeing what you have in the interim coach, if it's a coordinator, if it's a younger guy. If that guy sets the world on fire, goes 2-0, 3-0, his team, you know, turns it around to an extent, you got to seriously consider that guy as opposed to him being an unknown quantity in the offseason.
It's a good thought. Still feel
that's how USC hired Clay Helton.
I still feel
that's the one interim that may have worked out.
I still feel jury's still and out. I may be wrong. I just feel like it's like you argue with your wife, but not at the restaurant. Like, wait till you get home and then have the argument. This is the argument in the restaurant, and people
anyone.
Around you can hear you
right,
arguing.
Right.
And my thing is, like, I agree with you, Brian, and I would say to the coach, I would say, look, I don't want to do this. You're going to be gone after the season, but we can do it sort of quietly, and you can prepare a statement, and we can do it. You know, no one's going to care. You'll fly under the radar. In return, I need this coach over here to basically wear the headset for the next three games. I'm going to see what I got. And if that's our deal, then we can do it quietly. If not, I got to get you right
out.
Now in a sort of public arena, and then I'll give it over to him. But all interesting stuff, and people will tweet us and tell us their thoughts. All right.
There's an interesting article on NFL.com that speaks to this issue. It's titled "Midseason Coach Firings Are the Last Resort for NFL Decision Makers." It's very in-depth, but...
All right, but any thoughts or any ideas, I'll take them. Chet Waterhouse, by the way, the podcast is coming soon, so prime your pump for Chet Waterhouse. Also, there's stand-up dates. When is coming up? This Saturday. This Saturday.
Friday
December 9th.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Friday
Saturday. Fox Theater. Oh, what do I got? Oh, sorry.
Got
dates, yeah. This Friday and Saturday. Orpheum Theater in Madison, Wisconsin with Brian Regan. And then Saturday, Fox Theater.
Didn't
Detroit with Brian Regan.
Did we do the Fox Theater?
We did Royal Oak.
Oh, right.
We did a Fox Theater,
okay.
But not in Detroit.
Probably
gotcha.
Cleveland or St. Louis.
Gotcha.
The Fox Theater.
All right. Well, let's see. We'll take a break in a second, or we'll do good sports in a second. First, I'll tell you about Stamps.com. Holidays, busiest time of the year. Who has time for the post office? Use Stamps.com instead. All the services of the U.S. Post Office at your fingertips. You can buy and print official U.S. postage, any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. Then the mailman picks it up. Super easy. You don't have to leave the house. Just slide over to your computer. They give you a digital scale. You plug it right on in your computer, and then the exact right postage comes right on out of your printer, and you just affix it to the box, the package, the envelope, whatever it is, and you hand it to your postman. Easy. Right now, enjoy stamps.com. Special 4-week trial, plus postage and the digital scale. I think it goes up to 80 pounds without long-term commitments. Go to stamps.com, click the microphone, the top of the homepage, type in Adam. That is stamps.com. Enter Adam. All right. Jeff Cesario, thank you very much.
My
David
pleasure.
Smalley and Ian Harris are coming in from the Dogman Debate. We'll do a round of blah, blah, blog with them right after this.
And now, the Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports.
Good Sports.
It's time for a sports segment.
Good Sports.
It's time for Ace and Dave.
Good Sports.
It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights.
Mixed martial arts fights. Riffing on bad Stallone movies. Raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Good Sports.
Ace is getting talking.
Good Sports.
Shooting jerks with
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to this presentation of Podcast One Sports. Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there. Ace. I have a few things I want to kibitz about, but you know, you were just talking a couple of days ago. You mentioned something, what was it, that people don't do anymore, that they started out
running out of gas.
Running out of gas. People used to run out of gas. In the span of our lives, isn't it weird? People no longer put ketchup onto the fries anymore. Do you know anybody who's done that in 10 years now?
Oh, they put it off to the side.
When I was growing up, it was like a 50-50 split, maybe even like 60-40 in favor of people just taking the ketchup and putting it directly onto the on top of the fries. And then just like a bowl of nachos, you know? Like that's what, like we've talked about in the past, the cheese, it's got to insinuate itself onto every chip. And the only way for it to do that is organically. So you don't do it. You let the cheese do the work for you. Same thing with the ketchup, but not anymore. When did that change? And who decided it? It was over.
I don't know. I do remember a brief history after watching the movie Diner, mm-hmm. Barry Levinson's Diner,
Gem,
of ordering gravy with the fries.
I love a gravy.
Do yourself a favor. Oh. If you're at a diner, get the side of the brown gravy and dunk the fry into the nice hot brown gravy. I like
a hot turkey sandwich. If we did the best sandwiches, and I'm not talking about Primanti's versus whatever the Geno's in Philly or whatever. I'm talking about just style of sandwich. I would put the hot turkey sandwich with the gravy poured atop it. I would be top 3-4 for me, I think.
I got to say this. Do yourself a favor. I like to put, I did this the other week. I got the home fries. I got the hash browns. I like hash browns. Home fries, that's a weird dealer's choice spin of the wheel.
Some that's people absolutely do it right.
Oh, we leave the skin on. We use a purple potato. I don't want a purple potato with the skin on. That's
wait,
not
there was
idea.
No mention of red pepper being diced You're up right, into these right. potatoes. Oh, well, that's how we do them. Yeah, well, you should say that.
We
in
do
the
bell
thing.
Pepper and a mushroom and part of your mom's tampon. It's like, okay, but I wanted hash browns. I wanted the thing called hash browns.
I wanted
browns.
A potato. No, that's what you're bringing
We got
me.
Our own thing. We do our own thing. Okay.
Why don't they have mashed potatoes for breakfast? Those would be fine. All right, go ahead.
I do yourself a favor. You always get the hash browns and then do the move where you put the ketchup off to the side, mm-hmm. put a dollop of ketchup off the side, give it a couple shots of Tabasco mm-hmm. to the ketchup itself, mm-hmm. you know, weaponize the ketchup.
Yes.
Then when you're getting, it's all about ratios. And this is why Mike August drives me insane when he gets an omelet and he starts immediately feverishly cutting everything up. And then he takes everything, he mixes everything with everything, he cuts everything. He's an animal.
He derives no pleasure from ingesting food.
You get the right amount of potato, the right amount of omelet on the fork, and then you just have it just kiss the ketchup Tabasco edge. Mm. You just kind of slide off the edge of it, get enough on the edge, and just throw it all in at once and let all the flavors commingle.
That's so right. And you know what else is nice on your home fries or hash browns? Do yourself this favor. Say the kitchen when the waitress is walking away. Say, oh, excuse me, you know, can they melt a little cheddar in there?
Oh,
I mean, look, now you've stamped a ticket to Cloud 9. And when you return to the planet Earth, then you can thank me.
How about the folks? Here's an old school move. Piece of pie with American cheese melted on it.
I don't know. I've heard tale of that. I've never seen
enough.
It.
I'm not bold enough to ever try
why
that.
Why would any? What? I don't get the reasoning.
I don't know
that.
Why this non-cheese that doesn't taste any good is going to help out this piece of pie. I feel like we got a supermodel over here and we got a 3.5 over here. Yeah, but what if we put them in the same convertible?
I mean,
we just put the supermodel in the convertible. Look at her.
As a man of justice, too, I like to know who I'm celebrating. And it's the same thing as, you know, like I say about lobster. You know, who's the real star, the lobster or the drawn butter next to it?
Yeah.
Because I can dip anything into drawn butter and it will taste good. Same thing. Now you've melted cheese on the pie. Same thing as apple pie. It's one of my many reasons I'm down on apple pie. I frown on it. It's overrated. Is that it almost always, like, do you want it a la mode? You don't offer me a la mode on my delicious on my pecan pie or on my chocolate chess pie that you denounce so mightily.
It's pudding.
It's not pudding if it's done properly. If you do it wrong, it's bad.
It's pudding.
That's like saying
it's not a flavor for pie, not chocolate.
That's like saying you hate all pizza because you buy a frozen one at the grocery store and then it all is terrible. I can never eat it.
I've seen the people making the pie.
Well,
with
but
the
that's
pudding.
Those are bums making that pie. Make
right.
a good one.
Anyway, you're talking to have a brownie.
Oh, I see, because I can a la mode that
it's
one.
The
too.
Same thing.
Is apple pie so delicious, but it also needs a scoop of vanilla on it to really sink?
I say brownie overrated.
Well, I mean, you know, if it's a nice flourless Now I might take.
Well,
issue.
If you can get the closer,
they're
you
hard
get,
to get.
The closer you get to fudge, the better.
Yes,
fudge probably up there with fish and chips of things I love the most and never eat.
I, you know,
and
it's
you can
funny.
Go well. Fudge got a lot of calories, yeah, but I'll have pie and cookies and stuff like that, a donut or whatever. But I never eat fudge.
You just nailed
never
it.
Never eat fudge. Love fudge. Never eat fudge. Love fish and chips. Never order fish and chips. Love fish and chips.
I you know, that's so
I'm gonna
funny.
I'm going to be laying on my deathbed, and I'm going to be thinking,
that's me with
I should have eaten more fudge, I should have eaten more fish and chips, and I should have stretched more. Those are the three thoughts I'm going
to
have.
Sometimes I'll go to like a college basketball game. Once every 3 years, though. I won't go. And every time I get to the college basketball game, I say, I got to do more of this. And that's where the donut theory came from, is exactly that. Like every time I take a bite of a donut, oh, this buttermilk is divine. Oh, I got to start eating more donuts again. 6 months later, I haven't had another buttermilk donut.
Krispy Kreme overrated.
Well, that's definitely overrated.
Because it's the puffy, air-filled. I've never been more proud as a father than when I take my son to the Starbucks and he gets the old-fashioned.
Mm.
He gets the cake-style donut.
Well, you and I have gone at length about that, extolling the virtues of the cake donuts versus the garbage raised and all the
garbage,
society.
Disaster. That, abortion.
Who wants it? And by the way, it's still bad for you, but it doesn't even fill you. The raised is air. It's 90% air.
All right, Sheck. Let's be truthful. The folks that go nuts for like the Krispy Kreme, are they doing it just to tell you about something versus being that incredibly excited about
a
pedestrian donut that we've all grown up with and don't particularly care for, unless it's filled with jelly, in which case you can go with the raised.
Everybody likes to be more and more, and legitimately, I think you and I think Sporty Simmons have helped push this arrested development, sort of the celebration of things that, you know, well, you should leave those behind at 14 and never look back and be grow up. But we celebrate Roadhouse and Red Dawn and food and all those kind of things. And now I think people are all in on that bit. Like, it's now popularized that that's a thing to be. And so there's something to what you're hypothesizing there. I'm kind of obsessed with Krispy Kremes these days. Like, your turn of phrase is off-putting to me alone. I can tell you're not sincere with your fascination with these things that we actually are ruminating about.
Let me give you a win play
show.
You get
that, right?
I'm with you. You ready?
Yes.
I already know the answer. Win play show. Hostess.
Okay.
Dolly Madison.
Okay.
Tasty Cakes.
Ooh. Boy, I'm gonna. I don't want to just because I respect you, Adam.
Gary,
I don't want to.
You
just,
don't know Tasty Cakes.
I don't want to just throw out an
cakes.
Answer.
I'm trying to Google case. I
tell me what they. Dolly tell me Madison what each represents. Sound. The Hostess has Twinkie. It has Ho Ho.
Yeah, Hostess has the stuff you kind of grew up with.
It has that weird pink thing that I'm going to
snowballs.
Point. I don't like those. Never cared
no good.
For those.
No good.
What is that? Marshmallow.
Zingers and Razzies? Chocodiles and stuff like that. We on Dolly Madison now.
Yeah. I loved them when I was growing up. One of my favorites was Twinkies. I ate a Twinkie or two each day of my youth.
I got to tell you, one of the simplest pleasures there is:
cheese melted on a Twinkie,
American cheese. No, the Hostess pie.
Oh yeah,
they have a lemon pie. They have a raspberry.
Chocolate one.
Don't go near that one.
No, I go. That's the one I'm grabbing.
Don't get near the chocolate pie.
It's pudding, and that is pudding, and it is good.
They got a raspberry one. It's got heft. It's got heft to it.
Enjoy it.
With a cup of coffee.
God bless.
Eat it burrito style. Come on now. No, the proper answer is Tasty Cakes. It's the only thing my dad ever got right.
Oh, you know what? The Tasty Cake coffee cake.
Unbelievable.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
with the cinnamon
crumbly
kind of crumble?
Cinnamon.
Yeah, that's 100% right. That's delicious.
They do a chocolate one with a peanut butter in there, and they also do a small, when done right, and again, I'm putting this on my Mount Rushmore of stuff I don't eat. The jelly filled donut. They do a little jelly filled cake that's pretty unbelievable. Tasty Cake. If you haven't done it, do yourself a favor.
I think you're right about that. And this is a subject for another day, I suppose. But I also I'm vaguely bothered. I don't know if bothered is the right word, but I don't like when I go into a donut shop, and I favor Dunkin' Donuts, of course, as we talk about Krispy Kreme. But either way, is it fair to call a Long John or a Bear Claw a donut? I thought a donut is defined by the hole in the middle. They don't have a hole in the middle, so why are we calling them donuts? Why are they getting kissed in on that? I don't know that. I don't know what it would get confusing. That donuts, etc. But still, like, it's not a donut, is it?
I'll give a maple bar a pass.
I mean, that's you playing fast and loose with things.
A bear claw.
You're also the same guy who, when we would play basketball, and Ray's big toe would be on the 3-point line. You'd be like, close enough. Give him three. Like, well, he's not in the 3-point line. Why'd he get the three?
So I'm magnanimous. Big toes you. And donuts.
That's who you are. That's who you are.
Ray's claws.
All right, Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek. Talk to you tomorrow on Podcast One Sports. Good sport.
Saturday night in El Segundo. Join Corolla Drinks for a Christmas toy drive and holiday party at South Bay Customs with performances by Loxy. Hoist the Colors, Sanguine and Shiny, The Smokin' Kills. Just another Southern California. Saturday night at South Bay Customs, a toy drive and holiday party benefiting Shriners for Children Medical Center of Los Angeles. Your admission is a new unwrapped children's gift or a $10 donation. Or hell, bring both. After all, it's Christmas. Saturday night at South Bay Customs in El Segundo. Hoist the Colors, Loxy, The Smokin' Kills, Sanguine and Shiny. Toy drive and holiday party benefiting Shriners for Children Medical Center of Los Angeles. More information at CorollaDrinks.com.
He'll fill his hand with dookie and then he'll throw it at you. Piss on his friends and strangers to Ray, it's a fun thing to do. Jump off a roof butt naked and no, he never wears shoes. Ripped like a bodybuilder and all he does is smoke and drink booze. Better run, better run, better run, let's split. We'll be covered in shit. Ray's like an ape that's on the loose. Holy crap, holy crap, holy crap, it's Ray, and time for some pain. He'll choke you out with one hand, he calls it the breathing game. His cheeks he'll spread and fill up with a jacuzzi water spray. You'll get some pink eye if you raise duty water pray. One thing that is for sure, Ray's definitely not a Jew. You better run for cover when Ray's coming at you with poo.
Wow. Rich Banks. If I'm guessing, assist from Mike Lynch. Why not? Let me tell you about Simply Safe, and then we'll get to our blah, blah, blog and our guests. Simply Safe, man. Getting a good night's sleep. Easier said than done, especially if you hear that noise downstairs with the wind blowing out there. Everybody's scared. All the branches hitting the windows. What do you do, man? You go with Simply Safe. Simply Safe is a complete security arsenal. Motion sensors, glass break sensors, high definition security camera, everything you need to keep your family safe. You know, order it online in minutes, get it up and running in just a few more. You order it online, it shows up at your door in a few days. You get the package, you get all the sensors you want, you get everything you want. Shows up in a couple days, peel and stick, put it up, get it going right out of the box in under an hour, plug it in, ready to go. So the main box plugs in, and then everything else is on a battery that lasts up to 10 years. And you get 24/7 protection, no hard wiring, no contracts, no hidden fees. Go to simplysafe.com/am, get a 10% off discount. Let's go. Coming in the new year, going to get all those toys and everything around the house. You want to protect everything. Simplysafe.com/am. Get 10% off your order. David Smalley, welcome back.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
Ian Harris, great to meet you.
Likewise.
The podcast, it's a dogma debate. We talked about it in the past on the show with David, and now his co-host Ian is joining him as well. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you too, Beverly.
So where are we at? So, David, last time I spoke to you, we were talking about having a little bit of a shift in your way of thinking.
Yeah, big one. Yeah,
he had a I didn't come to Jesus moment, but but some kind of moment.
Yeah.
What was that?
It was the left completely eating itself, and I didn't want to be a part of the feast any longer. So I was like, stop calling me that.
I had an interesting insight that wasn't mine, but it was Dennis Prager. huge Jew and a very religious man, but
huge Jew.
He said, for those who couldn't figure it out, who felt liberal but didn't agree with a lot of stuff that was going on the left, he said, there's a difference. Yeah. There's leftists and then there's liberals. You're sure. liberal, but you're not left. You're liberal in the sense, I guess one of the ways to define it for the sort of people that are listening is you take race. The left's thought is there needs, you know, Harvard should have a black graduation if they'd like, and a white grad, or not a white, but just a black one, or black dorms if they want black dorms. And lots
I'm listening.
Of and every time you fill something out, you need to put your race on there because race is right. super important. And the liberal thing is race is not important. I don't want segregated dorms.
Yeah, that's
I don't
exactly
want segregated
what a Nazi
graduation.
Would say. Remember that? That's exactly what a Nazi would say.
I don't want everyone's race written down yeah. on a form.
60 years ago, that was a horrible idea.
Whatever you are, you are. You're just a human. Well, you'll commingle with everyone else. We're not going to have separate dorms. That's the way. I think that's a good example of left and
liberal. Now it seems to be like a badge of honor where other people need to get out of the way. And it's almost this race of it's almost this, like, literally a race.
It's a race?
A race to see who has the most intersections, and then so that you can silence people with fewer intersections. And it just becomes this clusterfuck of oppression Olympics. And we got to get away from that. That's not what freedom is. That's not what being a liberal is. It's just losing. And so many people, Adam, before I came on your show, were like, oh, that guy's a conservative shill. I sit down and talk to you. We're like 99% lock and step. This guy's a liberal. Adam Carolla
liberal
has
shill.
Right. He's
I'm
a liberal.
Shill for the liberals.
He's a shill for the liberals. So many people think you're somehow working for Donald Trump or something. Well, it's incredible. Because you know what it is. I was watching this thing on Scientology. The Leah Remini thing was on Scientology. And Scientology has this thing called suppressive reasonableness.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is that you have – it's the inability to confront evil. So if I see something as evil and Adam Carolla refuses to call it evil, you're suppressively reasonable, and now I get to call you whatever that is. So you become a Nazi if you don't call everyone else around you a Nazi. And, it's insane.
Well, the way – it's an impossible – yardstick to be measured by. So it's basically like saying, if I have a menu and there's a whole bunch of stuff on that menu you like, I like fish tacos and I like coleslaw and I like a Chicagoan kind of hot dog, but I don't like goat cheese and I don't like passion fruit tea.
A rhubarb.
So that's on the bottom of the thing, and now you go, I can't come into this guy's restaurant because there's 29 items here that I love, and then two I disagree with, and that makes him a purveyor of goat cheese. And whatever, and it's like, I'm on the same page as everyone with gay marriage. I'm an atheist. Smoke pot if you want it. I've been screaming for 1,000 years on Loveline. You should have your own pot plant. You should be able to grow your own pot plant. If you own property, why shouldn't you be able to have a pot plant? As long as you're not distributing the pot, or we can't prove you are, or whatever, that should be a
like thousand control,
morning after pill.
Yeah.
Everything. And then I go, I want to lower taxes. And I go, okay, so you're one of those Trump guys. I'm like, no.
Or they say, please tell everybody that Trump is a white supremacist. And you go, I mean, he's not the greatest guy in the world, but I don't know that we have evidence that he's officially a part of the Klan. Oh, no. Now you're a Trump defending lunatic.
I had to defend this guy because online somebody started calling him a Nazi sympathizer because he said, hey, I think you're misunderstanding what these people are saying. Maybe let's look at what not the Nazis, this other completely other group. And
thank you for clarifying that.
That sounds like a Nazi sympathizer.
Yeah. There was a big argument online.
Yeah.
And people were saying, well, this guy is supporting, what was it, some sort of ridiculous, he was just a shock jock kind of guy who said something, and his supporters were cheering, and he goes, no, they're not cheering what he said, they're cheering
he did. He did a tweet about rape, and people cheered whenever they mentioned the tweet, and people were like, he's cheering rape, and I went, maybe. They're cheering defiance. Maybe they're cheering free speech. And just because I said maybe, the fact that I said maybe there was something else, I got just completely attacked.
Not for the point, but just for saying, hey, let's hear what they're saying. What is this guy? That's not what he said. Oh, it was just ridiculous.
Well, let me say what we're losing out on. And
nuance?
Nuance, yes. But a reputation, track record.
Yeah.
Now, we've been on this planet. I've been on this planet 53 years with zero aggravated assault convictions. And zero.
So far.
With the same wife, the same kids.
You notice
I've never been brought
convictions.
Up. I've never had to use the RICO Act. I've never had to flee to Mexico or Canada.
You're charged part of a criminal conspiracy.
There are no. Meaning, when OJ had a trial and we had lots of 911 calls with Nicole Brown screaming, he's going to kill me. He's going to kill me to the 911 operator. That means something to me.
Yes.
And then several weeks later, guess who was dead? Okay. So I'm going to say, here's a guy who probably had a little bit of a history of putting his hands on his wife and maybe other women. Here's a guy you can look. My wife would definitely tell you guys I was a douche, but there are no 911 recordings of her screaming, Adam's going to kill me.
Not a dangerous douche.
There are also no black people who can come forward and say I was overqualified for that job, and yet he went with the blue-eyed guy who's much lesser qualified. So the fact that 53 years, no convictions, no examples of ever touching anyone of another race or doing anything to them that could be harmful or gay or women or whatever. Simply raise your kids and pay your goddamn taxes. You can cobble together this tapestry of being sexist, misogynistic, homophobic,
racist,
with zero. And if that's true, then great. Because we'll be living in a utopia where nobody ever does anything harmful to anybody. It's the arsonist that never struck a match. You're laying all these labels on everybody, and there's zero history of anything. Now, look, if you want to go out and light some torches and go to Weinstein's house, that's fine. He's done a bunch of stuff. He's a misogynist, and here's an interesting one too. Why is it when you're Kevin Spacey and you victimize men, you don't hate men?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But if you're Harvey Weinstein and you victimize women, you hate women. You're misogynist.
Interesting.
I think your fat guy wants to get off. I don't think you hate women. You could argue that maybe he loves them even. Like if somebody said, this guy robbed a gelato store in the middle of the night. Oh, he hates gelato.
No, it doesn't seem like it.
I think he loves it. I think he loves it even more than me. Oh, he's a misogynist. I don't know. He doesn't treat gelato right, but he loves himself some gelato.
He likes to exhibit his power over gelato.
Just turn into Chris Rock.
That's good.
That's
good.
Yeah. Yeah, so, not respecting something.
I hate Spumoni. I love gelato.
Not respecting something, I guess, can appear to be hateful, but you got a great point there. Yeah, that's...
Well, why doesn't Kevin Spacey hate men?
Yeah.
He loves himself.
He loves
dude. There's probably an equal amount of disrespect for victims, regardless of men
and boys.
Or women,
okay, not men.
Yeah,
boys.
Yeah,
let's get this straight.
Yeah, he great man, but I understand. So it's a weird time we're living in where you don't have to even go do anything. You just can become.
Well, and also there's this idea that we want to expose those who are racist or expose those. And I get that. Imagine living in a small town. The sheriff is like the grand wizard of the KKK and nobody knows it. Letting people know that that's what's running your police department is important. The problem is these leftist activists online have taken that to be anybody who disagrees with me online now, I'm going to expose them. We did this wonderful event, this 24-hour broadcast for a charity this past weekend. We raised almost $40,000 for all these people in need. It was this great thing. There were people tweeting during the broadcast, unsurprisingly, people are getting behind a white supremacist just because he's quote-unquote raising money for people. And people were retweeting and liking this and sharing this idea that I'm somehow a white supremacist when all I was doing is a charity event. Because his idea is I want to expose this guy. It's all about deplatforming. They want me to lose my show, fail miserably.
Expose you. You have your own podcast. Yeah. You're exposing yourself.
I expose myself all the time.
He does. I've seen it. It's horrible.
I constantly expose myself.
It's just we in the past, if you were going to be an embezzler or an arsonist or a rapist or a racist, or homophobic or xenophobic, we needed some evidence.
We'll follow through.
We needed you out on Santa Monica Boulevard getting into it in front of the gay bar with the fellas, and you pull the chain out or whatever. We needed something to hang our hats on. Now we're living in this crazy invisible world. Maybe it's the internet. Maybe it's the invisible internet where you just get to have this mantle of misogynist, homophobe, whatever, and it's all invisible. It's not even on paper. It's like in the ether.
I think the freedom of speech idea is wonderful, but we never took into consideration social media and how every moron can have a megaphone in their pocket now. Right?
Yeah, but there is. I had this discussion with my wife. The kids are out at sleepaway camp, and we had this kind of breakdown of the difference between my 11-year-old son and my 11-year-old daughter and my wishes. Some of this is a little cathartic. And there are many people, my daughter's one of them, who she'll argue about nothing for hours and hours and hours over nothing. It just can take a crouton and make a 7-course meal out of it. And my son, if it doesn't make you money and it doesn't make you happy, moving on. Just moving on. Bigger fish to fry. He has a saying, Brian. Mm-hmm. My son has a saying.
He does. It's just a waste of my time.
It's just a waste of his time. He's not interested in engaging over nothing. I'm not interested in talking to homeless people about why the Twin Towers were brought down by the CIA. It's a waste of my time. It's a waste of my time. Now, if my wife's got an issue, then we can talk. And if the gardener's got an issue, then we can talk. It's not a waste. And I said my hope is for these two that they don't spend the lion's share of their time talking about nothing and going in a circle. So Natalia right now can go in a circle for hours about nothing. And Sonny wants to get to a point or an agreement or whatever it is, lock it off and move on to the next thing. A lot of people in our society have a sort of endless ability to talk about nothing, and I'm not sure what's in it for them. I don't feel like Richard Branson does this. And
no time.
I don't feel like Elon Musk does this. I don't feel like Seth MacFarlane does it. Are there other dudes I can mention? I don't feel like Gwyneth Paltrow does it. She wants to invent a vibrating egg you can put up your ass and see if she can get $2,000 for it and then go on to the next invention.
Learn something new every time I come here.
I feel like I have discussions with people that are the exact same discussions, like over and over and over again. Why are there so many people who want to, you know, they want to go on the internet and they want to chime in on a subject that has nothing to do with them when they should be focusing on their business or their kids or their happiness or their physicality or whatever it is? Yes, Gina Grad. Why does that appeal to so many people, especially women?
Well,
and dudes that are wired like women.
Yep.
Which are now more dudes than ever.
Totally. A few years ago, this term came into being, and now I think it's just so appropriate. Slacktivism. Where you can sit on your couch and, like we've talked about before, be a hero after clicking a few buttons. And it's just so easy.
They're not social justice warriors. They're keyboard warriors.
Yeah, keyboard courage.
But much like the guy who's engaging with the homeless guy, what do you really have here? Like, what is the upside? What's the potential upside?
Well, I think it's also there's some sort of, like, you know, that 15 minutes of fame kind of thing. I think, you know, look at all the social media. It's how many friends you have, how many followers you have. Look at what I ate today. And people are commenting on, oh, wow, it's just people going, look at me, look at me, look at me. So if you have some sort of outrageous stance on something that you're going to, you know, be this leader in, and you're going to fight for whatever your little tiny little niche is that you've carved out for yourself, then you have followers that I think it's just some kind of weird narcissism that people just want people to go, oh, yeah, I like that. And, oh, you're great. And just, you know, verbally fellating you all the time.
I think there's a lot of, I think, in a nutshell, you should hope that things that aren't good for your children don't feel good. So I would hope that if my kids ever decided to slam heroin, they would never stop throwing up and it'd be the worst decision they ever made versus finally feeling free.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Sweet numbing.
And I would hope that going on the internet and arguing with people you'll never see, who you'll never get a dime from, and it can never better your life at all, and engaging in something where you lose 4 hours of your life and you'll never get it back. I hope that feels miserable to them instead of invigorating. Because there are way too many people who are, it's like when you talk to people and they go, I've been doing speed for, and I was up for 6 days, and I go, that sounds like the most miserable thing I could imagine, just doing speed and up for 6 days. They're like, I'm doing it again. Like, I hope that feels horrible. I hope it's the worst. I hope you get one DUI when you're 22 and a half and you never drink again and drive again. Like, I just want all these things to be like, instant this feels horrible. Right. And I'm moving on. And there's way too many people, whether it's eating a whole bunch of junk food or slamming heroin or doing the speed or tussling with someone online in a Twitter war, it's way too gratifying for them. They should be ashamed of it. It should feel horrible. And they should move on to, you know, hiking and eating jicama.
I think they enjoy it. I think it's as close as they get to slaying the dragon. If they can get someone with the blue check to respond, and now they're in some sort of Twitter war with a quasi-celebrity or whatever, it's maybe it feels like it elevates their status.
But either way, they win because they got somebody to engage.
I know they feel that way, but I mean, this thing where it's like, you know, George Clooney was walking down the red carpet and you grabbed his shoulder and spun him around until his security could pull you off, doesn't make you kind of a celebrity.
That's right.
And it doesn't make you a little bit below George Clooney. It just makes you somebody who George Clooney recognized as an asshole for 10 seconds. And now he's in the theater watching his movie and you got zip ties on and you're face down on the red carpet. Why does that feel good?
Yeah, I think you're assuming that some of these people are somewhat intelligent.
Well, that's a decent point. It's a decent point. All right. Shall we do a little news? We're going to do blah, 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 but I think we're getting to close to out time. I'll tell you about Geico. You get the news ready. You guys hang in and we'll crack wise. Geico, man, everyone's got the to-do list. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, and don't go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket and be the most rewarding thing you do today. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Check it out. What do you got to lose, man? Geico. All right, a little news, Gina Grad.
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, Time has named their person of the year, and it's actually not a person at all. They have chosen the, quote, silence breakers, the victims of sexual harassment who came forward and launched the Me Too movement as its 2017 person of the year. The magazine's editor-in-chief, Edward Felsenthal, made the announcement on the Today Show and revealed the magazine's cover, which features a group of women, including Ashley Judd and Taylor Swift. Here's what he said. He said, the idea that influential, inspirational individuals shape the world could not be more apt this year. For giving voice to open secrets, for moving whisper networks onto social networks, for pushing us all to stop accepting the unacceptable, the silence breakers are the 2017 person of the year.
Good name for a mint.
good punk band.
Right, so he's done now. He can go get back to his full-time job beating off into a ceiling fan.
I think so,
with
a
mirror on the fucking ceiling.
Over the holidays.
What a hero. He's a hero. But everyone's a hero.
But the person of the year thing's always interesting. It always causes so much controversy because sometimes they're bad people. You know, sometimes it's Osama bin Laden.
It's weird.
Who made the most impact this year. And this was, I mean, talk about dominoes falling. This was pretty impactful between Weinstein and everybody else.
It really was.
Good, bad, and whatever.
Wait, what did Taylor Swift do?
I think she tweeted a little Me Too thing, but she's so popular that it was...
Well, but she doesn't... I don't think it shouldn't get you on the cover.
And you know, and I don't know for sure, but it doesn't jump to mind that she accused anyone of anything.
Let's try to figure out what Taylor Swift did. Is that Ashley Judd?
Yeah, and she had that great speech, remember, that you
liked
so much?
Inspiring. Her and Mussolini are my favorite.
You know what's making the rounds on TV? Heat.
Oh.
The young Ashley Judd.
Yeah.
Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie, by the way.
I'm reading an article that has a case for and against, and the first thing that they cite as the for is that this summer she was involved in a sexual harassment or a sexual assault trial from the DJ who grabbed her ass.
Right.
Oh.
Just to, I don't mind.
What was that?
I don't mind making an example out of somebody.
She was at a radio station. She and the two hosts of the show took a picture together, and he grabbed her ass during the picture.
And she made him
and she flipped and sued him. And
she went to the trial back in Colorado, I believe, and testified.
Well, I...
Still a good move.
Hero. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. The butt cheek outside the pants. I don't know. I just feel like... look, the thing about... And you guys all have to do this. Back to my homeless guy analogy. You're the, you know, you're one third of a morning zoo that's working outside of Golden, Colorado. And then you are Taylor Swift, who sells out arenas and makes kajillions of dollars. That's your victory. That's your ultimate victory. This guy grabbed your butt cheek for less than 2 seconds and he can never wash that hand again. That'll be him as he goes back to his one-bedroom apartment that's a quarter mile from the radio station. Let him enjoy that life, and then you get on your Learjet and head back.
Yeah, your victory is not in court. Your victory is on the
Learjet. In life.
Yeah, I don't mind calling the guy out. It was weird, though, that it went to trial. I do remember hearing about it. He denied
sued,
it.
He sued her first.
Oh, that's make,
she
now that makes sense.
Oh, there it is.
In the pictures, he's grabbing her butt cheek. And also... You're kind of
sweet stash.
Giving these people. I would all if I represented her or him, I would argue that she doesn't have a lot of ass. Yep. So this can't be, you know, this got to be a misdemeanor. But here's the thing. All right, thank you. you're giving this douche exactly what he wants, which is more
publicity.
He wants his 15 minutes of fame, and that's why he grabbed. Right. Grabbed your ass in the first place.
Yeah.
Right.
Speaking of which, on the cruise, did anybody get a little extra handsy with any of you?
Yes, Ray was all over.
Well, besides Ray, obviously.
Because
the ladies
women get drunk and handsy. They do the sign the boobs and let me kiss you. And let me tell you something. I'll tell you something. The butt cheek outside of the jeans is less egregious than the big, fat, sloppy kissing potion on the cheek.
Yeah.
That is that's mucous membrane on skin, and it leaves a mark, too. And it's a weird thing
because
then they stand there, and you kind of want to know what etiquette is. Like, can I wipe this off?
You're still here?
Were you eating shrimp? I smell like shrimp now. Like, I've gotten the big old sloppy, can I pull it on in? And it's like, in terms of, like, if someone said... What would you rather do? That same person will put their hand outside of your jeans and give you one squeeze on the butt cheek, or that same person is going to take their sloppy, moist face and plant it on the side. And you will have a mark of lipstick on there. Like, you're going to have to, and it's stuff is waxy. Like, you got to go to the bathroom.
Nobody cares if it's a guy. Nobody cares if it's a guy.
I would much rather have the butt. Yep. The butt cheek.
I just remembered I signed a giant peck, and I actually got a little embarrassed. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm... Did you see that dude?
There were a couple guys with a nice build on him.
God.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah,
some of that.
Super fun. By the way, speaking of the Taylor Swift stuff and all this stuff, I'm going to jam this in
real
quick.
It's people of the year, which are the women who
are... The silence breakers.
The silence breakers.
Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. So, Terry Crews is suing the agent he says groped him at the holiday party last year.
I cannot wait to get the details of this.
Yeah.
I cannot figure out, so far, he's at a party, he's with his wife, and this guy comes up and grabs his junk.
Yeah.
Being a dude from North Hollywood who's hung out with a whole bunch of other dudes and got drunk, this can be nothing more in my mind than the dude being drunk and doing a go smack that bull on the nose. Like, you girls don't get drunk and dude stuff. Like,
go over there
and take that super muscular guy who's passed out on the sofa and put your nutsack on his forehead.
That's every weekend when I was a kid.
People go, oh, that's sexual. Oh, no, it's not sexual any more than smacking the bull on the noses.
Right.
It's a sort of a, I'm going to take this guy with huge guns and I'm going to poke the bear.
Yeah.
Now, unless there's something I'm missing, I can't figure out what I'm missing. That's what it feels like. It feels like drunken dude behavior, but not sexual behavior.
Well, and if this goes the distance, we will get a lot more information.
I want to know all about it.
So in the complaint, as you know, the Brooklyn Nine-Nine star claimed that agent Adam Vennett, quote, upon his first meeting Cruz, viciously grabbed Cruz's penis and testicles so hard that it caused Cruz immediate pain and a blatant and unprovoked sexual assault. After Cruz made the claim on Twitter in October, Vennett was suspended for a month and demoted from his position over at WME. He was actually the head of motion picture department. Cruz is suing for assault, battery, sexual harassment, gender violence, intentional infliction of emotional distress.
How about a hate crime?
There you go. That didn't
black,
make a list.
He grabbed the black junk.
That's right. True. Breach of fiduciary duty, negligence, and negligent retention and supervision. According to TMZ, the actor has already filed a police report and authorities are reportedly investigating.
All right. This is the only thing I can think of, and I love Terry Crews. He's been on the show multiple times, and he's the best. Terry was sexually addicted some months back, right? He had to check himself in. I don't know if he went to Arizona.
I don't remember this.
It was in the news.
Oh, okay.
I didn't. It was all over the news.
He had a porn addiction. It came out in 2016.
He came out and said, "I'm sexually addicted."
Jesus.
And you guys don't remember this?
No.
You know what?
I think it's racist that you don't follow what black people are doing.
Wow. I assume they're all sexually
He talked about this on the morning show. Right. Yeah, I remember this. Yeah, he's open about it.
Yeah, he went into like recovery and did whatever. And
so maybe the dude, Adam Vennett, was making some kind of joke about like, hey, is it, you know, whatever, this still work, sex act.
No,
whatever.
Not my theory. Oh, my theory is that he may have been victimized at some point in his life. Thus, sexual
so this was
addiction,
more impactful.
Thus, it's more, right. It's a different.
Traumatizing.
Yeah, when woman or male, if you've ever been victimized as a young person, these kinds of events register much differently in your head than people that just been victimized by my buddy Ray, who everything was just a joke.
Again.
Yeah, everything was a physical attack, but there wasn't anything behind it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's a survivor of sexual assault or abuse or anything of that nature, but the sexual addiction part suggests something, and then this suggests that you can't take somebody who had been a victim in the past and now they're 245 pounds of muscle and rich and have lawyers and try to re-victimize them or in their head a joke or what have you. Look, I'm not defending this guy. But
it doesn't sound like you're defending
like
him.
It
doesn't.
What I'm saying is, look, Ray's done this 250 times to 250 sets of genitalia. Never twice to the same one, by the way. Like
not
fresh genitalia. No, he's not. It's never a sexual thing. He's screwing
he's
with it.
But of all the guys in Hollywood to do that to, how brave must you be?
That's why they just smack the bull on the nose. That's why you don't smack the cow.
That's why what you're saying makes perfect sense, because it's kind of like, go grab that dude. Like, that makes more sense.
I want to hear all about it, but the sexual addiction leads me to think that there was some abuse, perhaps, in the past with Terry, and now you can't take somebody and do this to them who was victimized.
It's almost like you had fielded these phone calls for 10 years or something.
There was definitely every time I talked to someone on Loveline, every woman who said they were raped, and the story ended up being consensual sex. Like, I met the guy at the bar, we had some drinks, we went back to his apartment, we had sex, and now I feel like I was taken advantage of.
It's the informed consent.
There was usually something in the past that they now connect. It was a time lapse thing. It's like they felt victimized after the guy had already left. And if you went back and dissected their past, it usually turned out that there was something in the past, some victimhood, victimization that triggered.
Yeah.
It triggered. Yeah, because otherwise you go, this is like a party thing. Like this is weird, but something triggered.
It's also the informed consent thing. Like the guy said he was a doctor. You go back to your apartment, you have sex, turns out he works at Subway.
Yeah.
I did not plan on fucking a sandwich artist.
Time that was out. I love you, but I've been in many sexual situations, and so have my friends, and that has never happened.
Oh, I know.
They're always a sandwich artist, and we know it up front.
That's right. Sorry for the extra mayo in your hair, baby.
That's awesome.
So We will wait, and I will be interested in hearing the details. Yeah. Gary's leaning.
I've read through the articles. There's nothing alluding to that yet that's come out.
Alluding to what?
To any past history of sexual abuse. He just discusses.
Well, that'll be neither here nor there. What I'm saying is if you go up and do that to Dawson, Dawson laughs and then wants to go smoke a cigarette with you later.
This is my dick, bro.
Right.
Got me again, bro.
But if Dawson was sexually abused, Dawson may not have the same posture.
You're going overboard.
I walked up and did that to Dawson.
To your point, I dated a girl who was touched as a kid, and I came up behind her while she was cooking me dinner, and I put my arms around her, and she jumped and flinched. And
yeah. To be fair, the cigarette burnt the back of her neck.
That is true.
Ray had the same reaction when I did that to him.
No, it's true. And look, we love Terry, but the fact that he was sexually addicted now makes me wonder if this is what happened, because this is the only thing, as the guy who hosted Loveline, this is what makes sense to me. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just at a party with your wife and a bunch of people, and this guy does this. Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, word to the wise, don't do this to people, because you don't know if it's Dawson or Terry Crews or Dawson's ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Well, you do know which one's going to kick your ass.
That's right.
All right.
Dawson's girlfriend.
Yep. An evangelical pastor who tried to ruin the idea of Santa Claus last year for kids waiting in line to see Santa at a mall in Texas did it again this week in Alaska. Pastor David Grisham traveled to the Santa Claus house in North Pole, Alaska, and filmed himself telling kids waiting in line that Santa isn't real. Although most people there did their best to ignore him, a few approached him, asked him to leave, which he eventually did after he said his piece. The thing goes on for 3 minutes. Here's just a quick couple
hold
seconds.
Hold on. Let me tease it. But I love this guy.
It's the worst.
I've seen this a little.
My kids are just getting out of it. We kept them in this stupid phase for as long as we could with the elf on the shelf and the Santa's watching and all that kind of stuff. About 5 years ago, we're pulling up to our house, and in front of the gate was a giant deer with antlers and everything else that was standing right in the middle of the road staring at our gate. And we did the perfect, that's one of Santa's reindeers. And he's spying. He wants to know. And like the kid, Natalia, was in deep. Like, oh my God, we got a mole. We got a dirty cop.
He knows.
Deer on the inside. He went rogue. And I was like, oh yeah, he's watching. You bet he's watching. He's checking out. And it's all great. And now we've done it. We've kept this ruse going as long as we possibly can, and now it's pretty much off. But I'll tell you what should be on. Vikings, man. History's critically acclaimed series is back, man. New episodes every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Season 5. Ivar the Boneless asserts his leadership over the great heathen army. Ragnar's sons plot their next moves, and Bjorn follows his destiny into the Mediterranean Sea. It's Vikings. It's a new season, man. And it's full of startling alliances, unbelievable betrayals. And you watch the Vikings fight to rule the world, everybody. This show is amazingly well done, amazingly shot. You can't believe the production on TV shows. I grew up watching Gilligan's Island and Dukes of Hazzard. Please. Love Boat. Plus, Jonathan Rhys Meyers joins the cast this season. So, once again, it's Vikings. It's on History. New episodes every Wednesday at 9 p.m. All right, so this guy's going to ruin Christmas because he thinks it's what?
In North Pole, Alaska, he's an evangelical pastor who wants to make sure that everyone knows Jesus is the reason for the season. Oh, and Santa has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Here we go. All right.
Suit. He's not real. It's just fake. Your parents have been telling you a story that is not true. There are no reindeer, flying reindeers. There's
is
no.
Is he filming this?
Yes.
There's no.
It's festive.
Yes, ma'am.
We understand that you have your beliefs, but everybody else have their beliefs as well.
Big
if you
Mama got it all. Wants his ass out of here.
Well, I'm not interfering. I'm just telling them the truth, and then I'll leave. Boy. I'll be done in about a minute.
No, sir.
I doubt that very much.
No, sir.
And that Jesus Christ is the reason for the season.
Let's go. Okay. Hold on, say, just pause it. This is why.
Oh my God!
When you saw the movie Casino. And the guy got caught cheating.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
In the boot.
That's
it's
right. It used to be just there was a back room in almost every facility.
Oh,
like really, a Chuck E. Cheese had a back room back in the day where you could rough up some asshole. And you You bring this guy back, you have a couple goons work him over, and there's not a court in the land that'll convict anybody because of what this guy does. And it kept everyone sort of in line.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It was a little bit of a frontier street justice thing. It was understood. You could go in and do that, probably get your ass kicked. And it worked. We had it. Now everyone's getting sued. Nobody can put their hands on anybody. Everyone's lawyered up, and it causes this.
It's been a long time since I've been this in love with you, because that is absolutely the right answer. This is a horrible person.
Yeah, he's a jerk.
The employee of the store did remarkably well by keeping
cool.
Like, listen, I understand you have your beliefs. People are here for blah, blah, blah. How did this guy got that gang tackled by like 10 people?
I just now want to go to his church and do the same thing about Jesus.
Oh my God.
We have no evidence for any of the shit you believe.
We see sin everywhere. Where's Jesus?
It's all bullshit. I just want you to know.
You should do that.
He never got back up. He, you know,
he's a horrible person.
Yeah, this is pretty messed up.
Yeah. I got it.
Screw him.
I'm
just sharing the truth.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. Go to church and start talking about being an atheist.
Yeah. Well, as Chet Waterhouse alluded to earlier, Russians won't compete in the Pyeongchang Olympics under their own flag, if they even compete at all, according to USA Today. The International Olympic Committee Executive Board announced that it has suspended the Russian Olympic Committee, a move that effectively bans the country almost 2 months before the opening of the Games, but created a little loophole, a little path for individuals to compete as neutral athletes. So here's how it's going to go. Those participants will be labeled, quote, Olympic athletes from Russia, not Russian athletes, and will wear uniforms identifying them as such. They will enter the competition under the Olympic flag, and if they participate in a ceremony, the Olympic anthem will be played instead of their home country song. The IOC's executive board reached the decision after receiving a report from basically with all the doping. They
what
said,
if they win something? Who gets the medal?
They go to the podium. They're in Olympic flag gear and the Olympic anthem plays.
And who gets the medal?
The drug company gets the medal. Russia has no black people. How are they really going to compete? You know what I mean?
Well, Winter Olympics.
I get it, but come on. Shouldn't we just let them dope up a little bit? What are they going to do? Take the dream team down in hoops?
Are you saying to let them cheat to even it out a little?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're kind of at a disadvantage.
Yeah,
they're all pasty
and
white. What are they supposed to do? Beat Bob Beeman's long jump record? They can't do it. Let them dope all they want. We got brothers
here. Go full Ivan Drago.
Well, okay, here's what I'd say. No doping for the Winter Olympics.
Okay.
But I would let them dope.
For shot put.
I got to take like hammer throw
decathlon,
and shot put, things like that.
No combat sports.
Okay. No
wrestling or boxing. You can't do that.
Long jump, high jump, triple jump. They do the 100 meter basketball. They
hurdles.
Can do the two. Yeah, hurdles. Oh, yeah. Anything hurdles. 220, 440. Uh-huh. Anything under a mile, they can dope
Victimless
for.
Victimless crimes.
Mm-hmm. And if they have some sort of displacement competition to see how much water your penis displaces. So I'll let them dope for that.
Okay.
But that's just a trial.
I would
smaller.
Say the long distance stuff is where they need the most help. Those Kenyans do pretty well.
Oh, that's true. Ethiopian.
Ooh, I never thought about
that.
Yep.
Those Kenyans dominate.
That's true. Mm. I got to really consider this, obviously.
You need to call the IOC.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
All right. So according to Gary, if you go to Netflix, you can check out Icarus. Interesting documentary about this, or it's an Amazon doc.
Also,
it's amazing is I think the word you saw, but it's a Netflix doc.
Amazon. Sorry, amazing on Netflix.
I think we both watched this. What was the sports show on HBO where they did that whole thing on the IOC?
Real Sports Touch.
Yeah, Real Sports. Oh, that was incredible too. These guys, I don't know
Turns
about
out
them.
Corrupt.
Yep, a little corrupt.
Oh. Well, just give some international organization billions of dollars and just let them do what they want.
Beg you to come there.
How fast before everyone just goes corrupt?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, if you've never thought that the name you've given your laptop's Wi-Fi network could cause big problems, try naming it Bomb On Board and then take it on an airplane. A passenger on a Turkish Airlines flight from Nairobi, Kenya to Istanbul, Turkey caused a panic when passengers saw the frightening Wi-Fi name come up on all their devices. The panic caused the pilot to divert the flight and make an emergency landing in Sudan. Security personnel questioned all of the passengers and inspected inspected the plane and found no reason to be alarmed. They were all allowed to reboard and the flight was resumed. It's not known if the officials were able to identify the passenger with the idiotically named Wi-Fi network. I don't know how you couldn't trace that back, but I don't know enough about Wi-Fi. But yeah, that's, they named it bomb on board for a little airplane joke.
What was that Liam Neeson movie where it was like the air marshal and he was getting texts back and forth? I'm in any movie that takes place on an airplane, they get a base of 35 on Rotten Tomatoes for me. Like if it's all,
nonstop.
If it's all on an airplane, I'll base you at 35. Then if you're like a normal 30,
snakes,
you'll be at 65. Yeah,
as
long as it's, I don't care if it's Jodie Foster and her kid or whatever.
Flight plan's an underrated movie.
Just give a base. If it takes place on a flight all the time, that's it. There's always the evil flight.
Yep.
Stewardess,
yep.
And the hot flight stewardess and everything. And the Liam Neeson one, not too bad.
You got to see Red Eye. Seen Red Eye with Cillian Murphy.
Red Eye, yeah. Executive Decision.
These are all good movies.
Wow.
You have a base of 30 for
Air Force One, of course.
A base of 30, I tell you, and then we can just go up from there.
The next, Olympus Has Fallen, the Gerard Butler White House movie.
Oh, there's going to be another one?
It's called Angel Has Fallen.
Mm. Oh, Air Force One. I'm so in.
Oh, me too.
I'm so in.
IMAX.
They had two.
IMAX.
Two taking over the White House movies. It came out in like the same month.
That's right.
Yeah, White House Down.
Yep. Yeah, I'm in.
Wow.
Oh, I'll be there day one.
All right, sorry. Where were we?
Be careful what you name your
Wi-Fi. Yeah, your Wi-Fi.
Thank you very much. Call it like...
Let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
I constantly expose myself.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Name your Wi-Fi. Nightfall. History's new scripted drama series, Nightfall. Wednesday nights, 10 o'clock on History. Set medieval France. Tangled in politics and conflict, one courageous Templar knight will lead his order of warrior monks on a life-or-death mission. Find the lost Holy Grail. Once again, it's History, so the production is superb. It is absolutely movie feature quality. Tom Cullen from the hit series Downton Abbey leads the cast, taking viewers deep inside the most powerful, mysterious military order of the Middle Ages. Nightfall, History, Wednesday nights, 10 o'clock. Be blown away by just how well this thing is produced and how great the writing is. And you remember, whoever controls the Grail holds the power. It is Nightfall. It is on History. It is Wednesdays. It is 10 p.m. Do not miss it. All right, let's see. We got a live basic cable commentary, and that is Cobra. And that's coming up Thursday, January 25th, Irvine Improv, 8 p.m. I'll be up on stage with Mike August, and we'll be showing you Cobra.
August gets to make another appearance?
I like August.
That was fun.
He
was
knows
great.
When to hold up. He knows when to fold up.
Yeah, man.
And he mainly excels at folding up.
He'll bring the deli tray on his lap.
Doing a fantastic job. Also, Corolla Drinks got a holiday special, so just go to Corolla Drinks. Say hi to Lynette over there. She's doing a great job. And, I forgot, Chassis. That's right. Ian's got a special. Extraordinary. It is coming soon to Chassis. That's has all our DVDs and all our Newman docs and all the stuff we produce. We have a nice body of work piling up over there. Why don't you try not only Ian's special, Extraordinary, but 12 O'Clock Boys. Very good. It'll break your heart, but very good. We got the Bug movie. We got the King of the Underdogs, another very good piece. Ian's special is available for DVD or download, and that's coming up Tuesday, December 12th. So check that out. And let's not forget about Dogma Debate with David and Ian, and you can get that on iTunes and Podcast One. As well. Am I missing anything, fellas?
Yeah. The 16th will be in San Diego at the Comedy Palace.
Oh, I'm sorry. Together. Yeah. Doing a live pod. That's December 16th.
No, not a live pod. We're on a comedy tour.
Oh, well, sorry. Comedy tour. But you're live.
We're live. A little stand-up, as you can tell. I was hilarious.
That is December 16th at the Comedy Palace in San Diego, and tickets are available on David's website if you'd like to check it out. All right, so until next time, Adam Kroll for David Smalley, Ian Harris, Gina Grad, Jeff Cesario, and Ball Brian saying mahalo.
I did not plan on fucking a sandwich artist.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. Give him a thumbs up on Facebook and then leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And subscribe to Take a Knee by clicking the link at adamcarolla.com. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, including basic cable commentary on Cobra, Mangry events, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.